If you'll take your Bible this morning, and for one more time, just one more time, I think, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We've been in Philippians chapter 2 for 20 years now, I think. No, but it's a precious chapter in the Bible. But now in Philippians chapter 2, in the last part of this chapter, we're going to read from verse 19 down through the end. And Paul now speaks and gives a testimony about two individuals. One is Timothy, whom the church was very familiar with. They knew Timothy. He had been there. He had visited. He had been with Paul there. And then the other man is Epaphroditus, who was of the church at Philippi. And so he was a part of that church. He was a member of that church. And Paul shares some things about these two men that are really a testimony, an example of what Paul has been teaching in Philippians chapter 2 about having the mind of Christ and how having the mind of Christ affects our life and affects our relationships with one another within the body of Christ and ultimately our relationship with the world in seeking to tell them of Jesus Christ and the faith and the life they can have through Jesus Christ. So we're going to begin reading at verse number 19, where Paul writes, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we just ask right now that you'd be pleased to just minister unto us by your grace and by your Spirit as we open up the Word of God and bring forth the truths that you would have for us to hear and understand this morning. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, this week Monday, we had with our school, with Baptist Bible Academy, we had a cross-country meet. And Baptist Bible Academy over the years has been involved in many different sports. Basketball and soccer and volleyball. And those sports are team sports that are very competitive. But I want to tell you that I have really enjoyed the cross-country sport as Baptist Bible Academy has been involved in it. And this past Monday, we had a cross-country meet here at the school, at the church, and it was an amazing, it's amazing, a wonderful, it was a wonderful thing. And I wish you all could have been here just to enjoy it. Five different Christian schools met for a cross-country race, and it involved elementary, middle school, and high school. Now, just so you understand, it was a race, so it was competitive. I mean, it was competitive. When you saw those guys and girls take off from the starting gate, you saw the competition. And when you saw them coming across the finish line, you saw it was very competitive. It was challenging. It was a battle. You could see them struggle. As they came around the course, you could see the pain on their faces. Oh, it was fun. I mean, agonizing to watch. You could see them gasping for breath. You could see them, some of them, Danny, falling at the finish line, right? Just on his face, on the ground, you know? And so it was challenging. But it was a blessing. And the blessing was this, was that you have five teams from five different schools. You have all these individuals competing, and everybody's cheering for the people that they know and are familiar with. But the fellowship and the cooperation and the whole thing was a blessing. Because you have all these kids competing, and yet as they're competing, they're encouraging one another to stick with it, to go harder, to race. They're having fellowship with each other after the race and just enjoying each other's company. And the people that were the family, the coaches, the fans, the churches, it was just such a blessing. You had pastors. It was a pastor's fellowship. There were a lot of pastors from different places and different churches, and we're all gathered together. It had a worldwide reach. You can't make this up. But it reached all the way to Peru. Baptist Bible Academy is now known in Peru because I was talking with a pastor. I met a pastor, and he introduced me to his wife, and I introduced Allison to them, he says, "My wife is from Peru." And I said, "From Peru?" I said, "Where in Peru?" He says, "Juan Kyle. Her relatives go to the church where I preach in Peru. And they are good friends with Paul and Celeste Rose." So Peru was hearing about Baptist Bible Academy and what was going on in the race. There were families from different churches. It was just such a wonderful time. Unlike when you have other sports, when you have basketball and you train, and then you have one team here and one set of fans over here and one set of fans over here, and you just compete and you cheer and then you go away. This was really an example of what the church, missions, and Christianity should be all about. It really was. It was just a blessed time. Kids won their first, second, and third place, but then other kids, there was cheering all along the way. I mean, people cheered, and everybody cheered until the last person crossed the last finish line. It was just a wonderful event. But you know, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about what Paul is writing here in Philippians chapter 2. For Paul is writing to a church, and he's writing about that they would have one mind and one spirit, the mind of Christ, and how that would affect their lives and their relationship one with another. And Paul writes, and he writes to the church, and boy, he cares about this church. He says he longs for them in the bowels of Christ, and he had a heart for these people. And in Philippians chapter 2, he's going to mention Timothy. He's going to mention Epaphroditus. But you know, in chapter 4, he mentions some other folks. In chapter 4 and verse number 2, "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also." Clement. Can you imagine being married to a lady named Clement? I guess that's where that song came from, Clementine. But anyways, all right, so he mentions these are the ladies. And he says, with other my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. And he's speaking to the church, but he's speaking to the church as a body of Christ, as a bride of Christ, as a family of God, as a people that are gathered together in Jesus Christ. And their relationship one with another. And he mentions these ladies, he mentions other people. You know, in the book of Romans and 1 Corinthians, Paul goes on to list a lot of people. And, you know, when you read Romans chapter 12 and you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you read Ephesians chapter 4, you're reminded of this, that the body of Christ, the church, is made up of a lot of different people. And every one of us are members in particular. We're all different. And every one of us is important to the Lord. And every one of us is important to each other. And we need each other. And we need to care about you. We need to love each other. We need to help each other. We need each other. And I want us to look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19 down to verse number 30. And boy, I've struggled with putting this message together because there is just so much here. But I didn't want to spend the next 3 months on this one text. But there is so much here to meditate on, to think about, to just learn from. Because in it we see the heart and the life and the relationship and all that's part, spiritually part, of being a part of the local church with each other. And it all has to do with a heart for the Lord, a heart for the church, and a heart for one another. And he first starts off, and he has referenced himself over and over again. In verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And Paul is saying, I would do anything for you folks. He says, I would do anything for you, for your relationship and your walk with the Lord. But then he goes on to mention two people. The first one is Timothy. And in his testimony of Timothy, he brings forth the example of the care that Timothy had for others in the church, especially the church at Philippi, of the care that Timothy had, because he says in verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And Paul writes here, and he mentions Timothy because he says, Timothy really cares about you. Timothy really cares about you. And he goes on and he says, you know, there's I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And that, he's saying that, you know, there's a lot of people that they're more concerned with their self. And he says, but not Timothy. Timothy's different. Timothy really cares about you. But what does he care about? That's what we want to look at this morning. What does he care about? Because in verse 19 and verse 20, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state, when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. What is Paul saying there? When he says Timothy cares for your state, well, he's not speaking about where he comes from. He's not speaking about where he lives, because we know there's only one place to live, and that's Connecticut. And now we need to pray for Bruce and Ella. Okay, we understand that. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world says. We know the place to live is right here where we are. Hey, if there's one reason to live in Connecticut, it's because of our church family. Amen? Amen. All right? You don't live here because of the gas prices. Well, the weather right now is okay, but you're right.
We don't live here necessarily for the weather. But if there's one reason to live here, it's for our church family. Amen. Amen. Right? But Paul says that I might care of your state. What he's talking about is their faith, their relationship with the Lord at this present moment. And that's what it's all about. Look back at chapter 1 and verse number 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all. And he says for two things, for your furtherance and joy of faith. He says it's all about your faith, your relationship right now with the Lord. It's not so much about the circumstances of your life, because those change. You might be healthy today and sick tomorrow. You might be rich today and broke tomorrow. Or you might be broke today and broke tomorrow. You thought I was going to say broke today and rich tomorrow, didn't you? Right? But it's about your faith and the furtherance of your faith. And Paul says, Paul cares, Timothy cares, and we should care about one another. Number one, that our faith, our relationship with the Lord is growing. That we're growing closer to the Lord, that our faith in the Lord is growing, that our walk with the Lord is growing, because that's what brings us joy, and that's what sustains us, that's what helps us in all the circumstances of life. You know, it's one of the things that is exciting and encouraging to see is the growing faith of our young people. Is the growing faith of our young people to see them pray before things. Did you see them, their faith growing in different ways? You know, we had a young man, Jared. He graduated last year from high school. Very challenging time in his life. Very challenging. And yet just recently, and he won't mind if I share this, but you know, he's come to the conclusion that God's purpose for him right now is to be a shining light at ShopRite in New London. And I says, wow, what a growth in faith. That he understands that this young man has grown up and he's grown in his faith to realize that this is what God has for me. Just to be a shining, and he used those words, a shining light at ShopRite. Praise the Lord, amen? Amen. That you want to know how encouraging that is to a pastor? Amen. That thrilled my heart to just hear about someone growing. And not only young people, but you as adults. You know, when you've been a pastor for so many years, it's important to step back once in a while and just see and notice how the faith of each and every one of us has grown over the years. And how that we all go through our challenges. We all have our challenges and our moments, but it's our faith that sustains us. And the Bible says in 1 John, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, our trust in the Lord and our walk with God. And Paul says, this is what Timothy cares about. And this is ultimately how we edify one another, how we should love one another is just be concerned and caring about each one's faith and encouraging one another. You know, Paul would write to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and he would remind him of something. In fact, the most important thing. As Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. And Paul says, godly edifying in faith. And then he says this in verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, good conscience, of faith unfeigned. And this is why he speaks of Timothy. He says, Timothy loves you, and that love is sincere. It's pure. It's a love
that springs from his faith in the Lord, but he says he cares about you. And he cares about you. And the Lord is giving us an example because the Lord cares about us. Right? The Lord cares about your walk with him. And we ought to care about one another's walk and just encourage one another in the Lord. Encourage one another to trust in the Lord. Encourage one another to walk by faith and pray one for another. And so first of all, Paul says, there's a man named Timothy. You know him. And he cares. And he says he naturally cares for your state. He naturally cares. It was just Paul's nature, but it wasn't his nature. It was the nature of Christ. It was a mind of Christ in him. It was a mind of Christ in him that he cared about others, that first of all, they knew Jesus Christ as Savior, and they were growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's a big part of what the church is all about. To encourage one another, to help one another, to just challenge each other, but just be a blessing in edifying one another in the faith and encouraging one another in the faith. And so that's the first thing. And he says, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And he says, I'm trusting. Paul says, I'm waiting to see how my situation works out. But I want to send Timothy that he can be an encouragement to you in your faith, in the furtherance of the faith, in the joy of your faith. But then he goes on to mention another individual. And this one he goes into more depth about. And this was a man that was from their church. Epaphroditus was from their church because in verse number 25, in the latter part of verse number 12, he says, he's your messenger. He's from you. And just to give you the background of what he's talking about, Paul is in prison in Rome. And the church at Philippi had heard that Paul was in prison at Rome. And they wanted to be a blessing to Paul. They wanted to be an encouragement to Paul, as we ought to be an encouragement one to another. And so they wanted to figure out, how can we be a blessing to Paul? And so it came to a point where they figured out and they determined, listen, we can send someone to Paul to just bring him some gifts of encouragement to him that will help him out. And so they sent this man, Epaphroditus. You look down at verse number 30 and it tells about it. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. And that phrase, your lack of service, does not mean that they didn't want to help Paul. But when you go over to Philippians chapter 4, it explains it to us in verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Paul says, you cared for me. You were full of care for me. And you wanted to encourage me. You wanted to help me, but you lacked opportunity, or the way to get the job done, you couldn't figure it out. And so finally, you were able to send Epaphroditus, and he came, and he was a blessing, and he encouraged me with providing your gifts for me. You know, and many times that is precisely the reality of the situation. Right now, talking with John and Judy Perkins, who were missionaries to Venezuela, right now it is just nigh unto impossible to get money and support and help to people in churches in Venezuela. And you just can't send money to churches in Venezuela. It won't get there. Same thing is in other countries. It's difficult to sometimes to get money to churches and people in Peru and other places. And so
You want to help. You want to be a blessing. But how to accomplish it sometimes is very challenging. And these days it is as well.
And yet they figured out, listen, we can send Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus will take our gifts and whatever we have for Paul to be an encouragement, blessing to him, and we'll send Epaphroditus on the way, and he'll eventually get there, and he'll provide for Paul. And so what Epaphroditus did, he's a messenger of the church. The church was expressing their love to Paul through this one man. And you know, when you and I go to other places, we are representative of our church, and other places and other people, they look upon you, but they also look upon the testimony of our church. But anyways, that was the situation in the life of Epaphroditus. So Epaphroditus gets to where Paul is, and he brings this gift. And now Paul writes in verse number 25, and it's kind of interesting. Paul, you can just hear this now. So Paul's in prison, and all of a sudden this guy Epaphroditus shows up from the church to be a blessing to him. And then Paul says this. Look at verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered my wants, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because he had heard that he had been sick. Now, I want you to understand what Paul is saying here. Epaphroditus comes to Paul, is a blessing to Paul, to this point that Paul doesn't want to send him back. This man becomes such a blessing to the life of Paul that Paul would rather he stay with him, but Paul says, but I understand I need to send him back to you. And the reason was because Epaphroditus heard that the church at Philippi had heard that he was sick, and so Epaphroditus is grieved, and he's just grieved that the church, he's worried because the church is worried about him being sick, and so he's concerned for the church because the church is concerned for him. And Epaphroditus says, I need to go back, and Paul says, yeah, I guess you do. But you see, this man was such a blessing that Paul didn't want him to go. Boy, I tell you what, that's how we ought to be with one another. We ought to count each other such a blessing that we don't want to let each other go. And because look at verse number 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus. And now Paul's going to tell you how much Epaphroditus means to him. And this is how much we should mean to each other. He says, first of all, he's my brother. He's my brother. Paul says, he's a believer. Timothy was a believer. In fact, Timothy was a man that Paul had led to the Lord. And he says, he's my son in the faith. But he says, he's my brother. You know, that's why we're part of the family of God. Through Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? Amen? That can't be broken, folks. We are adopted into the family of God. Right? Amen. And we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Paul says, what fellowship we have. He says, he's my brother. He's my brother. And when he speaks of that, he says, there's this personal connection in the Lord that we can share things. It's just like John writes in 1 John chapter 1. And he speaks about the fellowship that he had with Jesus Christ, the personal fellowship while Jesus Christ was here. And then he says, the fellowship that we have is with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And these things write unto you that you also may have fellowship with us and that you might have joy. And Paul says, he's my brother. And he says, what a blessing it is to have another brother in the Lord to just fellowship with, to be with, to talk with, to pray with, to just be around. What a blessing it is. But he says he's more than that. He's not only my brother, but he's my companion in labor. He says we're working together. He says we're laboring together for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that's also what the church is all about. We're co-laborers, we're companions in labor. Listen, we're not all doing the same task, but we're all laboring together. We're all laboring together. I've been so encouraged by the folks at Citywide Baptist Church lately. Well, first of all, there's two of them here this morning, Molly and Ann, because I went down there to turn the heat on. Now, Citywide doesn't start till 11:30. So I went down to turn the heat on before church, and they're sitting out on the steps. It's 9 o'clock. I've never seen anybody that early to church. I said, what are you guys doing? They're 10, 11, 2.5 hours early. And they said, well, we're waiting for church. And I said, well, come on up to Lakes Pond. We're all part of the same family, amen? So they said, sure. But I've been so encouraged because the family down there is doing so much that just because they know they're part. And that's how we all, we're co-laborers together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're companions. And Paul says he's laboring with me. Well, think about it. What was Paul doing now? Paul's in his own, it says hired house. He's in prison, but he's living in this home, and he's inviting people in. They're coming and hearing the gospel. And somehow, Epaphroditus was involved in that, helping him. But then he says this. He's also my fellow soldier. Because, you know, just as we spoke about cross country, listen, we're all in a race, right? Christian life, the Bible says it's a race. It's not a sprint. It's a long race. But he says, the Bible says we're also in a battle. Because just like that race, just like watching those kids race, and they come around and they start off and boy, they're out of the chute and they're running. And then you see them come around for the first lap. And they're more spread out. And then you see them on the third or the fourth lap or however many laps they have to do. And boy, you can see the pain on their face. And then you see them charging to the end of the race. And just, you can see the battle that they're going through. And the Christian life is a race. And many times it's a battle. It's a challenge, isn't it? Right? It's a challenge in all ways. But he says we're fellow soldiers. And, you know, when you look at the military, right? When you look at the different aspects of the military, they're all in the same battle. We're all with the same purpose. And we're all laboring together. We're all fellow soldiers. But there again, not everybody's doing the same job, are they? There's people that are providing supplies. There's people that are taking care of the people that get injured. There's people that, all sorts. But we're all in the battle together. And so he says, he's my brother, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier. He says, but he's your messenger. And he ministered to my wants. And he says, this is the reason I need to send him back to you, is because he's your messenger, and he ministered to me. And once again, there we have another truth. He ministered. And the Bible says we're to be ministering one to another, helping one another out in all different ways. But he says, the bottom line is this. He longs for you. He longs after you. And Paul says, as much as a blessing as he's been, his heart is there in Philippi, and he cares for you. He longs for you. And you heard that he was sick. And he says he's grieved over your concern for him. And so he says, I need to send him back. And so we see the character of Epaphroditus. He's my brother. He's my companion in labor. He's my fellow soldier. He's a messenger of the church. He ministers. And boy, those are some things that we should just say, Lord, help that to be me. Help that to be me. Help me to be a true brother or sister to others. Help me to just be a fellow laborer. Help me to be a fellow soldier.
Help me to be a messenger testimony and a blessing. Help me to minister to others within the body of Christ. But then lastly, we see one more thing. We see his commitment, his commitment. Boy, I tell you what, this is striking. Because in verse number 27, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, he may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Somewhere and somehow, and the Bible doesn't give us the details, but somehow from the time Epaphroditus left Philippi to reach Paul in Rome, and I don't know how long it took or what it entailed, but somehow in that journey, this man Epaphroditus got sick. I mean, it says deathly sick. He was gravely sick. And yes, the Lord did deliver him from it. The Bible says he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. And Paul says not only did God have mercy on him, but God had mercy on Paul, and God had mercy on the church, because you know what? They cared about each other. And folks, the Bible says when one member rejoices, we rejoice. When one member sorrows, we sorrow, because we're all part of the family, right? And yet God says, or Paul says, but God had mercy on us. Paul says that that I may be the less sorrowful in verse 28. He says, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice. Paul says, I sent him back so you could see he's okay and you could rejoice and you could receive him in verse number 25 in the Lord with all gladness and hold him in reputation or just be thankful for him. But then he says this in verse 30, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, because of the work of Christ. Because you see, to this man Epaphroditus, the work of Christ, and specifically the encouragement, the strengthening, and the edifying of the faith of other believers in the church, that's the work of Christ that Paul is speaking about and ministering to Paul and being a blessing to Paul from the church. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. Doesn't say he was foolish. Doesn't say he was reckless. What it does say is that his commitment to Christ and his commitment to the work of Christ, his commitment to others in the church was his priority. Was his priority. That's where his commitment was. His commitment was to his local church. His commitment was to the fellow believers in the local church. And his commitment was to the work of Christ. And because of that, yes, it took a toll on his life. It took a toll on his health. It, in this case, you know how it is. When you labor, your physical body takes a toll. Takes a toil. I don't know. Gets a toil. Has a toil. I don't know. Gets messed up, right? But the priority is the work of Christ. And folks, all this Paul brings together, and the purpose of this is that we would understand that when Paul says, let this mind be in you, which is the mind of Christ, Paul said that you would understand through the testimony of Christ and through the testimony of others that this is what God wants to be a reality in our lives. This is what God wants for us as individuals, as a family of God, as a local church. And God has put us together. Amen? God has brought us together to be a blessing to one another, help to one another, that we might be a testimony to the world
that they would see Jesus Christ in us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, I pray your word has just been a help and a blessing to us. And Lord, thank for each one here. And Lord, just continue to help us grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And just be a blessing one to another. Help one to another as we love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. Lord, so that we might be one body committed to the work of Christ and the testimony of Christ in this world around us. And ultimately that you would receive all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.